Okay, welcome back, and it's Harry Cooper night here, and we are fortunate to have Harry with us once a month. We've got three tours coming up. I urge you to take the first link under his name and guests. Take a look at the book trilogy that is now out. When are you going to be shipping?
The first two books are in stock now. The next one, Hitler and the Hitler Spy Web in South America, that'll be here about a week from today, and we'll be shipping all the books together at the same time. Let me just steal about 30 seconds of your show here.
Take it.
The folks who have emailed already, they want the magazine. Fine, that'll be going out to you tomorrow, free, no charge. And to Philip, ja, grüß Gott, Kamerad. Wir fahren nach Argentinien in Februar. Buenos Aires und Bariloche und Villa Langostura und. And I'll put you on the list for those who are interested in the tour to South America.
That's the tour to Inalco.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that's,
sir, it is.
That's, oh, you will go get to stay on the very grounds that Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun, again, through an international, you want to call it a conspiracy, go ahead. They made a deal. They were allowed to live down there for the rest of their lives, all right? And that's where you get to go.
Well, until Juan Perón got knocked out of power,
and then he
had
to move. That's absolutely phenomenal. And on this huge ranch, 2,700 acres, whatever it is, there's this enormous barn. We'll look at a picture of that. And it had they had thoroughbred horses or some kind of race horses. There's a starting gate for to hold up to three horses. It was a training facility, obviously, for horse racing. I'm not saying that Hitler and Eva Braun were into it, but they did a lot at that place. And they went for a horseback ride. This is going to be phenomenal. What a trip. What a trip.
And it's all heavily forested, and we'll be going in the summertime. February is summer down there. You'll get a sunburn. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. And the other two tours we have right now is in October, the first 2 weeks in October, is our southern tour, which is Bavaria and southern Austria, Munich, Ingolstadt, Nuremberg, Berchtesgaden, and then down into southern Austria, into Kärnten. The details for that are on the website, sharkhunters.com. And the week after that is our bunker tour in Bavaria. Jeff Carson, he's been a member for, 10, 15 years. He is probably we call him the Tunnel King. He's probably the most knowledgeable guy on the tunnels and bunkers and structures that the Third Reich built, especially in Bavaria. He's going to be our guide. So these are all already posted up.
Yeah. Well, if you want to experience history like you'll never get it in the book or in the movie theater, this is the only way to do it.
Yeah. And you're walking in the footsteps of history. And if you got any imagination, you'll
any
put yourself right in there.
That's right. And in the case of getting to go to Inalco, the estate, you'll get to sleep in the footsteps of history. You get to stay overnight.
That's and you won't freeze
incredible.
Like I did down there.
Yeah, well, you went on a mission, and you came back with some very interesting material.
Yeah, right? and I kid about it, but, if you're going to be on an expedition, if you're going to go someplace to learn something, you can't be a candy ass and say, oh, no, it's dangerous or it's too cold or anything.
No.
You got to do it.
Just do it.
Yeah, so I kid about it, especially I spent the second week with Lawrence DeMello. She is the world's expert on Borman, and she gave me the pool house again. It's a beautiful place with an upstairs loft bedroom, beautiful place. But the damn furnace had quit. It was 32 degrees Fahrenheit outside, and it was 32 degrees Fahrenheit inside. But
you had about 8 inches of blankets, we hope.
I sure did, and I got ready for bed by taking off my boots. That's it. I kept on my pants and two T-shirts, a long-sleeve shirt, and a sweater. But she is such a sweetheart. She takes such good care of me down there. And I brought down a couple of stun guns for her.
Yeah.
Just
very good.
Because she's a woman living alone, with her 13-year-old son. So.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Very good, very good. Okay, got it. Now
you're going to want to look at J3. What is this? F3.
F1 shows the It's kind of like the billboard outside, the marquee with it talks about ski school. And then two, and then three. Oh, my. This was on the way to lunch. You stopped and had this?
You'll notice I'm eating from the four food groups, ice cream, syrup, whipped cream, and hot chocolate.
That is, you're right. That
it's
is the four
major food groups.
I'll be damned. I finally figured it out. All right. Yeah, that was on the way to lunch. What is that?
But it's a hot fudge sundae with a glass of hot chocolate.
It's a gallon size. Man, you're amazing.
There's no sense eating little bits, you know.
No,
go big or
no.
Go home.
No. No sense. I agree. And the hot chocolate looks splendid.
Yeah. Oh, down in Bariloche, I don't know how, but they have some of the most awesome chocolate. They've got one store down there, a restaurant, which I did not get a chance to stop at.
Uh-huh.
It's all chocolate. It's a Russian-run operation. It's all chocolate. It's incredible.
Wow. Well, all I can say is bravo. Keep at it. Have fun.
I'm having so much fun doing this, and I think I'm doing something worthwhile.
You can say that again. All right, the next picture, G1.
G1. This is interesting. This is in our hotel again in Bariloche. And this was they were doing a documentary film there.
Uh-huh.
And this one young lady was very high up in the security forces for the Argentine military.
Right.
And so I went and talked with her. And take a look at that picture. There's only one woman in that picture, I found out later.
Excuse me?
There's only one woman in that picture.
All right. Do I get three guesses?
No, you only
that was
get
a
one
joke.
Guess.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
I know.
All right.
And you ain't going to guess me, because I look like hell there with a moppy hair.
Oh, my. All right. I'll tell you who it is. It's the one on the left.
Your left or the picture's left?
The picture's left. It's
the
blonde.
One in the black or the one in the white?
No. The one on the left side of the picture is the guy.
That's correct. Yeah. Because when we got done taking these photos, I said, thanks very much, girls. And the one with the sunglasses on the head says, yeah, right, thanks, buddy. Oh, I mean, you're not a girl, okay.
You look at his Adam's apple, it kind of gives it away.
Yeah, I wasn't interested in that. I was just interested in talking to him. And this gal, the one in the powder blue jacket, and she's very high up in the Argentine military.
Uh-huh.
She said, what do you guys think of Trump? I gave her my opinion. She says, we down here think Trump is absolutely awesome. Okay, fine. And when we said goodbye, she walked out the door, turned around, yelled, make America great again.
How funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
We kind of go across the world.
Does the guy on the blonde, is he supposed to be taken for a woman? Is that part of his cover?
I have no idea. I thought it was a woman up until that point, and then when he says, yeah, thanks, buddy, then we said our goodbyes, and they were gone. So I have no idea. He was a producer.
Uh-huh.
He was kind of like a roadie. The producer was a little short, skinny guy, had two or three cell phones, and was very nervously bouncing around the set. But like I say, when we finished our conversation there, they said goodbye, and out the door they went.
What were they filming?
They were visiting all the Argentine military bases, and they were there because of the mountain troop school. And so she was making a documentary on the Argentine military preparedness.
Uh-huh. Very good. Okay. All right. G1.
That was G1.
Now we go to G2.
G2,
now there's a picture of, tell us what we're looking at. That's a stunner.
I took that just for the beauty of it. This is at one end of Lake Nahuelhuapi, where it's fairly narrow, and the Andes are in the background.
Yeah.
It's just incredibly gorgeous.
Yeah.
And
we'll be
in that area on the tour. The breathtaking. I know we've got stuff like that in the United States too, and that's wonderful. But this is not in the U.S. We are actually on a small
It looks like
resort.
Bavaria.
Yeah, it does. It does, which is maybe why they like Uncle Adi to go there.
Yeah.
But it's just magnificent. And I just put that in there for the aesthetic
good
view.
Good call. I can see somebody dressed up rather warmly. It's winter, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever
and
that is.
That's on a small resort area that's owned by the Argentine Air Force for R&R for their troops.
Mm-hmm. Stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning, stunning stuff. Beautiful. All right. And Harry just came back, remember, last month?
Yeah.
He was just there.
3 weeks ago, yeah.
All right. Wow. Okay. Next picture is G3. Now, this is a story.
This is
a story and a half. Okay. Take
this
it away.
Is a coup and a half.
Yeah, it is.
This is the so-called Saracen Tower, which was built as the other lookout station for any boats headed towards Inalco. It's on a private estate, and nobody, to my knowledge, has gotten here before. They've gone by on boats, which is about 100 feet down below this, because this is on a cliff overlooking the lake, about 100 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
And people go by with boats and take pictures. I did, too, in 2008, 2009. But to the best of my knowledge, nobody has been within a few feet of this thing to take these photos. And on our YouTube channel, we've got videos of this also. You know, they had the sign there that says, Harry's welcome. It says, no Pessar, which means Harry's welcome here, same as Ein Gang verboten in Germany. So Martina and I went on the property. Mm-hmm. We went around behind the manor house, which is where the caretaker was. So we started talking to the caretaker. And he had a couple of big dogs. And these guard dogs, they about licked me to death. They wanted to play. And they had a soccer ball. So while Martine was talking to the caretaker, I was kicking a soccer ball.
Clever fellow, you.
And every time I kicked the ball, it went closer and closer to the tower. I had the video camera in my left hand and my snapshot camera in my right hand. And I got to within, well, you see it here. This is not a telephoto lens. This is just a cheap Walmart camera. I got to within about 30 feet of this thing, and then Martine's yelling at me. Martine is he doesn't break the rules very well. He just, you know, he yelled, oh, we must go, because he said, how do you phrase it? He said, you must leave the property now, and please do not make me a violent man.
Okay, that was the caretaker.
So we don't want to make him a violent man. So we said, I kicked the ball again for the dogs, and we said thank you, and we left. But to the best of my knowledge, nobody has taken a shot of this.
You were there.
Right.
That's a big coup.
About 30 feet.
Yeah, that would have been built there, and probably, let's just guess, 44?
The end of
prepare.
The war, and it was built by the same guy who built Inalco, same architect.
All right. So they had around-the-clock surveillance from the tower and the other location as well.
From the bunker.
And the inlet. In other words, Hitler was extremely well-protected.
Absolutely. They had armed security on the water. They had armed security on the land.
Oh, they had a boat out probably all the time.
Right. And Juan Perón watched over them.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, just amazing.
Yeah. History.
Yes, it is history. That's the real deal.
Yet we're supposed to believe that Hitler committed suicide in the bunker. And now they've come up with this new Mickey Duck story. Oh, we've got the jawbone and dental records match. Well, what they don't realize, we found many, many years ago that the guy who allegedly was Hitler's dentist was encouraged to remember Hitler's dental work from memory.
I remember that story.
But now all of a sudden they've got the jawbone. Well, before they had this piece of the skull, which turned out to be a young woman.
A woman.
Yeah, in her 20s. And then, you know, when I talk to people who blindly believe this stuff, they get all cranked up and say, well, they've got the body. And I ask, well, who's got the body?
Let him go.
In the Red Army Museum. And I tell them, Yeah. And what the hell is that? I tell them, well, I just told you I'm an honorary Russian submarine officer. I have free access to the Red Army Museum, and there's nobody in there. And I remind them that Hitler and Stalin hated each other so much that if Stalin would have had his body, it would have been on display in the Kremlin wall.
Yeah.
So, you know, these stories come up every so often. When the story of Hitler's survival starts to get some traction, they have to try to knock it back down again.
Well, because why? Because the British, the French, and most of all the Americans cut the deal to get the technology. They wanted that technology. Almost 10,000 German engineers, scientists, and others came over under Operation Paperclip.
Right.
They got the technology. We got a rocket program. The first director of NASA, Dr. Kurt Debus, was there for 13 years as a director of NASA. NASA was a German program, the whole thing in the beginning.
It certainly was. It certainly was. So, but why they want to keep the fantasy alive still is beyond me. But
well, it's cover up so that people can't unravel the paperclip and the scientists and all the rest of it. And as I say, according to that memo I read, J. Edgar Hoover, and I think it was 1947, instructing all of his agents to cease and desist from any further efforts to locate the alleged Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun living in South America. Stop looking for them. I think he didn't know for the first year or so, and I think he finally was told when his men and women, whoever they were getting maybe a little too close, to call them off. So he called them off, and that was the end of it.
Right, because if he had made it known to the general public, there would have been such a hue and cry to go after Hitler, and yet the government couldn't go after him because
the deal. And the deal,
and also
we think,
because he was so well protected by Juan Perón, it would have taken an actual military invasion to get him.
We think that that deal signed between the Third Reich and the American government is probably still in effect.
Because
we have four American presidents have gone all the way to Bariloche for what?
Right.
Why
Not
would
only
they
four
go
American
there?
American presidents, but also John Kerry was sent down there by Obama at the end of his term.
Probably to sign an extension of the agreement. So,
like I say, that could make another whole program, but keep in mind, Germany never surrendered.
No.
The German military surrendered the military forces, but the government of the Third Reich did not sign any surrender paper. The same with the Civil War. Lee surrendered the army of the Northern Army or whatever the hell, but the Southern states, the Confederates government, never signed a treaty. So apparently we're still at war between the North and the South, and Germany never, the government of Germany never signed surrender.
Very interesting. All right, let's go to Inalco. We're going to take you picture H1.
Okay, you're skipping over G4. Well,
Let's look at G4.
Okay, I just wanted to...
it's a cute little place. What is it?
Right. So many people have donated money to our research. God bless them. I just wanted them to see that I wasn't squandering the money. I rented that house while we were down there near Inalco. It was $100 a night. I had one upstairs room, and Martine had the other upstairs room.
Mm-hmm.
We had a fireplace. We had our own cooking stuff, so I'm not squandering the money.
Very good.
Unlike some of them other people that go and spend thousands a night for a hotel.
Tens of thousands, ultimately.
Yeah, what can I say?
And more.
Okay, you're right. H1.
Okay. All right, H1, here we go. Walking into history again. Here we are.
It's the manor house, and I was so shocked when I saw this place, because the last I had seen it was 2009, and it was in beautiful shape.
Yeah.
But on the 4th of June, 2011, a volcano in Chile erupted and just laid about 4 inches of ash on everything. And apparently, I'm guessing, I don't know, apparently nobody bothered to clean the house up and just left it go to hell in a handbasket there.
I see there is a a large hose out in front. I think somebody hosed it off eventually. Maybe the caretaker, but there's a big.
Who knows?
Looks like there's a hose on the ground.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's
been washed partially. It needs to be treated. That's all. They just got to get some people in there to take care of the wood, hit it with some Olympic stain, two or three coats, clean the rock work, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's structurally still solid.
It's structurally,
structurally solid. You bet.
Yeah, cosmetically.
The wiring has gone to hell in there, and the heating lines would need to be replaced. It can be restored. It just take a mighty big checkbook.
Well, there's some of those out there.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, I ain't one of them.
All right. H2.
Dum-dum-dum. Yeah, this is around the back. And you can see how it's disrepair. How's that for a good choice of word?
It's tired.
It's tired, yeah.
You go in there with some proper equipment. You blast off all the logs. You can take care of it. It's all doable.
I agree. Hey, if any of your listeners out there are wealthy and want to bring this place back to life, the property is for sale for 23 million euros, which is about 30 million Yankee dollars. And it's 450 hectares, which would we say 2,500 acres, plus all of this, plus all of the farm, which we'll see in a minute. Hey, buy it, clean it all up, make it Shark Hunter Southern headquarters. We'll go
you
there in
also,
the winter time here, summer there.
That would be, in my view, a hell of a tourist attraction.
Oh, it would. It certainly would. Now that it's gotten out to the general public that this is where Hitler and Eva Braun lived, plus in San Carlos de Bariloche, there was bunches of SS people that formed part of his bodyguard.
Oh, thousands.
Riebke lived there.
Yeah, thousands.
And bunches, tons of them. I don't speak Spanish, but I get along in my German in some of those little towns.
Yeah. Great. All right. Wonderful. Let me see where we are in our pictures here.
H3, 4, 5, 6.
All right. Let's go ahead through this. I want to make sure we get done properly and in style with all this. These are really important pictures. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, sponsors.
This is the boathouse, H3.
All right. H3.
And if it wasn't for that tree, it would have fallen over by now.
Right. All right. Well, the caretaker needs to get out there and prop that sucker up.
And that white chair in there, that was not Hitler's chair. That's a modern plastic, cheap old Walmart chair.
A Walmart chair.
Yeah.
So this is the boathouse.
Correct.
Okay.
And there's other pictures on my website, like I say, on previous tours, of when the place looked beautiful.
Yeah.
And
there are billionaires, there are thousands upon thousands of billionaires. Some of them may be listening tonight, whether you're Saudi Arabian, whether you're English, whether you're Australian. This
Donald
is something
Trump is worth 10 billion.
Well, that's what they say. I think he's leveraged to 10 billion.
Well, could be. If Jeff Bezos is listening, you and I both belong to the Explorers Club. Let's see some money.
Well, he's not going to want to, because of his tribal connections, want to bring back anything about Hitler. But this could be a world-class destination resort. It already is, but I mean this special aspect of it. I mean, think about it.
It could be made to look like it did 50, 60 years ago.
In 1945.
Sure.
When those people,
it takes is money.
That's right. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. Next up is H4. And what you're looking at in the foreground is?
I'm standing on the beach here, which used to be just a nice, smooth beach up to the yard and the house. But now you see that huge berm built up. And that's all volcanic ash that they had bulldozed over there. And you can see how much there is. And, you know, it used to be a beautiful golden sand beach.
Yeah, they need to get rid of that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the fellows we met there has a trucking company, and he said right after the eruption, he said he was making a fortune hauling all this volcanic ash away. They were taking it to, I guess it can be used in cement. So when they were building houses, they would use some of this stuff in the cement, I guess, down there at least.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, again, it's still very impressive when you consider what happened there. I mean, think of all the dignitaries, all the big shots, all the high rollers from the German government and other governments who were certainly favorably disposed toward Germany. They would have been down there. Bormann, Eichmann, they all, Mengele, they all would have meetings there. And in that the hotel in Nowhere in Paraguay, they'd meet there too. They had meetings everywhere.
That's another whole story. I'm not going to get into that right now, but we got, I think we got a pretty major announcement coming soon about that.
Okay. All right. Very good. Smoke coming out of the chimney of Inalco.
Right. That was because we were freezing our fannies off. And there was a bunch of firewood around, so we started a fire with the approval of the caretaker. We started a fire, and it kept going out. Our driver took off. He had to go to the bank in town, and I think he stopped for lunch or a drink or something because he was gone for like 2 or 3 hours. Town was only like 5 miles away, four miles away.
He had a hot fudge sundae.
So we were finding old empty cardboard boxes and throwing them in there so just to keep warm because it was freezing.
Yeah. All right. Well, they got to get that ash. I love to clean things and fix things up like you do. And I'd love to get my hands on that estate.
Yeah. It's beautiful, but it ain't going to last long unless it's taken over.
I understand. Okay. J1.
All right. This is about 500 yards away through heavy forest, jungle, whatever you want to call it. This is the remains of the farm. The place was pretty self-sufficient, which is the same as it was up on top of over Salzburg, the mountain in Bavaria, where Hitler, Bormann, Goering, and many others had homes up there. Right. They had farms, they had dairy farms, they had... Everything was self-sufficient there on the over Salzburg. Mm-hmm. And so apparently it was the same way here. We're just coming onto the property there with J1.
Mm-hmm.
J2, it's a little used up, but it was a starting gate.
How is that? Resources. How is that possible? That's just incredible. And that's been there since the 40s. Who knows?
Been there a long time because the wheels are out. If you look closely, the wheels are sunk into the ground.
I see.
It ain't going to move anytime soon.
And so these were racehorses. And that's a three-horse starting gate.
Exactly.
The middle one's missing half of its double gate. But that's really what a thing to find. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see any evidence of an oval, a circular track?
No, everything there is so overgrown. Nothing's been maintained for ages. I suppose if you went back and really looked, if you had any background in geology, you could figure out where it might have been.
Look at that. 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
How funny.
Just pure history sitting there.
Yes, it is. Wow. Okay. J3. Now, this J3. Is a very interesting structure.
Yeah.
Very interesting design.
That's the, I believe that's the horse barn. We identify it in our YouTube channel, which I don't know anything about this high-tech stuff. We're putting together a whole new website, which Tiffany, you're supposed to have had it up by now. Is it up? No, not yet. But anyhow, we're going to have a link to that. We'll be live in a day or two, I guess. There'll be a link to our YouTube channel. And I didn't even know anything about a YouTube channel. These were just videos I was shooting while we were there, so I made some kind of unprofessional comments on a couple of them. Mm-hmm. Then when I went to stay with Lawrence DeMello, she told me about the YouTube channels, set one up on my website, and then Tiffany showed me how to load more stuff onto it, so it's kind of like created a monster here, a Frankenstein. I just putting stuff up there. So that, I believe, is the ruins of the horse barn.
Well, that's a damn big barn, and look at the pitch on that roof.
Well, it snows heavily there in the winter.
Yeah, yeah. Just like Bavaria.
Uh-huh. You got it.
Look at that. Yeah, that roof is too steep even for you to try to climb up.
You're remembering 2 years ago when I got off my roof a lot faster than I got onto it.
I certainly do.
And was unconscious for 3 days in the hospital. Oh, yes.
You
and then 4 days
the
after
hospital.
I got out of the hospital, I was on a plane heading for Argentina again.
Didn't you call me from the hospital? I think
if
you did.
If I did, I don't remember it.
No, you kept trying to tell me your name was George. I don't know.
My wife told me that I had 3 meals a day. I don't remember any of them.
Yeah.
I don't remember my wife and son being there. I don't remember none of it.
No.
Once or twice I woke up because I peed all over myself and I had to change everything. Yeah. I just went back into La La Land.
Well, you called, I swear, from the hospital and told me what happened.
I just, like I say, I don't remember anything of those 3 days.
And you told me you were going on the trip. And I said, Jesus. Come on, how are you going to do that? He said, I'm going, and you went.
They didn't want to let me out of the hospital. They said, no, you got to take time to... So they brought up a physical therapist to see if I was capable.
Yeah.
So he wrapped his big belt around me. I said, what in the hell is that for? He said, well, I'll hold you up in case you fall down.
We're going for a walk.
Yeah, he said, we're going to go for a walk. So I slipped loose and ran down the hall in the hospital and ran back. He says, okay, I'll sign. Get out of here.
Wow. Well, and then he went down there, and the heat almost killed you down there.
Yeah, we went into, this was in 2016, and, you know, that comedy show, Hunting Hitler, showed the ruins of a small house, and they claimed it was Hitler's house, which it was not, and they claimed they discovered it. So we went there, and we had to walk about a mile through jungle. Mm-hmm. It was over 130 degrees.
How can
100%
that, 130
humidity.
Degrees? How can that be?
I don't know. Well, go down there. You'll see. It was 40-something degrees Celsius, so that's 130 degrees, I think.
Incredible.
So, anyhow, we went to this place where they allegedly discovered this. It's a state park, for God's sake. It's been open to the public since 1995.
Yeah.
So, but anyhow, we went about a mile into the jungle, mm-hmm. down a slope, which was fine. Coming back, I had to go up the slope, and my body just quit on me when I got to the top of the hill, and I made it as far as the park ranger's little shack, kind of collapsed on the deck, and they spent about an hour pouring water over me to keep my body temperature down. They forgot to take my $1,000 Nikon off me. It takes funny pictures now. And then I was finally ready to leave, and all this time Martina's saying, hurry, I take you to the hospital. Martine, we're in the frickin' jungle. There ain't no hospital around here. And then he had to put blankets down on the car seat because he had just bought a brand new car.
And you were soaking wet. Yeah,
all soaking wet, top to bottom. He says, please, don't be offended. I says, hell no, I wouldn't want some soggy guy sitting in my new car either.
So what a nice guy.
Yeah, Martine's a good guy.
Yeah, totally.
And thank God I came out of it all right.
I don't know how you did. It's not your time. That's all I can say. You got work to do.
That's right. It's not my time.
Same with me. I survived that crash. And
yeah, you sent me the pictures and everything. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Like I told you, you did one good thing. You got another Jap car off the road. I know we've had this discussion.
I know. Well, remember the straight six-cylinder engine that they made in that car until 1997 was a direct copy of a General Motors straight six. So,
the kind they used in the old Chevys.
Great engine.
Yeah, the blue flame, they called it.
The blue flame. They put them in pickup trucks, everything. Yeah, they run forever. Of course, the Japanese made them bigger and stronger and all that, injected them, but that engine will run four or 500,000 miles if you just take care of it.
Yeah, that was the standard engine in the Corvettes, 1953 and 54.
The Blue Flame. Yeah, I've seen
that. You couldn't get a V8 in the 53 and 54 Corvettes.
Yeah, amazing. All right, sir, let's go to
J4.
Now, that's another picture of the enormous horse barn there.
Yeah. I took this picture. It's a little blurry because I took it while I was walking. But on the YouTube video, we spent a couple of minutes on each one of the structures there. Mm-hmm. They had a large building where they raised Great Danes for guard dogs, and they raised St. Bernards. They even had a little casino on the property, but it's all abandoned now and all falling apart.
What do you mean they had a casino on the property?
They had a casino.
On Inalco?
Yeah.
For entertaining visitors, for fun.
I don't know what it was there for, but on the farm's laid out in a big horseshoe kind of shape. Huh. And the casino building was right by the main building.
How interesting. Building. How do we know this was a casino building?
Because our guide, who was the son of the caretaker,
told us. Okay, got it.
And he grew up there.
All right, we'll leave that alone.
Let's
see. Okay, number J4. Now I see the
K1.
Look at the size of that barn again before we leave it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's huge.
Yeah.
We went inside too and we took videos inside.
Yeah.
Just massive.
All right.
They must have had a ton of people working there too.
Oh, yes. Okay. K1.
K1. That's snow.
On what?
On our car. I just took this picture after we pulled a bunch of snow off the car to use for a snowball fight.
You mean that's the front windshield?
Yeah, that's the windshield of the car.
Man, it looks like
the whole roof and everything was just covered with snow. But
it looks like an underwater World War II wreck.
Yeah, it does. But it isn't.
Wow.
And that was the last picture we took out there in Bariloche and Villa Langostura.
Uh-huh.
But that, like I say, that was damn cold out there. And we got so much on film, on video.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
on
this
our
is
YouTube
this
channel.
Is going up on your channel. All right. You need to put your channel on your homepage, which I know you're working on, and
mm-hmm.
say Harry's YouTube video channel or whatever, and we can all go there and look at videos.
Yeah, okay. We got about 130, 140 subscribers so far.
All right. Well, you'll have a lot more. We just need to get the videos.
Anybody who wants any of your listeners, they can just send me an email and say they want a copy of the magazine, and which I'll send them electronically. And then we also send a link to the YouTube channel. We've got about 50 or 60 little short clips posted.
So this isn't public domain yet, all right? It's still off the beaten path right now.
It's probably public domain.
Well, I mean, it is, but you're not advertising it. I got it.
Right.
Okay.
And it's only because I'm too dumb. And Tiffany's going to put a link, and I'm saying it like right now because I know Tiffany's listening. She's going to put a link on our new webpage to the YouTube channels.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's on the new YouTube page. It's under videos. You click on videos, and it takes you right to the YouTube channel. But that's on the new page, which will come up in a day or two.
Very good. All right. Okay. K2.
K2.
It looks like I'm going to guess somebody's wired up to a microphone, and it looks like he's playing an instrument. Am I right?
He's playing a sax. This is back in Buenos Aires now after I left Bariloche. I was in Buenos Aires for a couple of days before I went out to Lawrence DeMello's place.
Got it.
This is right outside my hotel.
Huh.
And the fancy cathedral-looking mall is right behind my back. This
uh-huh.
guy is playing a saxophone. They always have some kind of entertainment going out here on the street. And all these girls, and there's a bunch more that are off camera, were from Brazil, visiting Buenos Aires. This guy was rocking with his saxophone, and the girls were all dancing, having a great time. If you look at the table, you'll see a lot of empty beer bottles and wine glasses. So they were in good mood. But this is what you can expect when you come down on one of our patrols. This just goes on all the time. In the daytime, they have this. In the nighttime, they have the tango dancers right on the street.
Huh.
You know, it's a walking mall only, walking street only. You can't drive on it. So,
very nice.
It just, this stuff going on all the time. If you look at 3.
Okay, K3, right?
Tango dancers.
Wait a minute. Now, I see 3 tango dancers, and I won't say what else I see there.
That's me.
That's Santa, isn't it? You look like a David... No, you look like a Charles Dickens character. Look at this.
They put the scarf on me and the hat at that angle, and they said, on your tango face. I said, what the hell is a tango face? And that's it. That's my tango face. But this goes on. Right here, they're doing a tango dance. And you see that's a walking street now. No cars.
Sure.
And further up behind where I am, there's people doing charcoal portraits of you or pastels and caricatures. There's people selling all sorts of stuff. There's people playing instruments. All up and down the street. It goes for like about a mile or so. And this, where I'm standing, and this one's about 2 blocks away from where my hotel is. It never sleeps. That city
That's
is going
nice.
All the time, and it's just
That's nice.
Really super.
Yeah, very good. Now, you do look a little like
arrogant?
A Dickens character. No, no. And now we've seen your tango face.
Yeah.
All right.
Looks like
why
my
do
shorts
I see...
are too tight.
It looks like W.C. Fields from just a glance.
Oh, thanks a lot.
No, not the face, just the outfit, the hat. And he was in that movie. Doggone it, what the hell was it?
My
anyway.
Little Chickadee?
No. It was a Dickens movie.
Oh, okay.
And he was dressed up, and it was a character. Anyway, all right. Can't remember the name of it. Well, that's good. All right, so it's an outside street party.
Oh, yeah.
A mall party. And
right.
Next up is K4.
K4. It's a horrible picture of me that I took. It's a selfie. That's me and Lawrence DeMello on the bus.
Uh-huh.
For some reason, the Argentine government decided to work on the rail lines that go from Buenos Aires out to her place, which is way out in the hinterland.
Why does the rail line go out to such a rural location?
Well, they've got transportation now.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't back in those days, but now they've got transportation. But they decided they had to do work on the rail lines. Logically, you would shut down one line at a time and shunt the trains to the other lines. No, they shut down everything, and for the last 8 months, no trains are running on this line. So we took a bus.
Very
to
smart.
A coach,
very
to a
smart.
Bus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she was laughing at something I said. She is really a nice lady, and she really sharp when it comes to this research.
Excellent.
And she and I clash every so often. She's a tough cookie, but she just treats me like she should be my mother. You know, Harry, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. She's bitching at me. Do this. Do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Oh, by the way, would you like some tea? Let me make you a sandwich. She's a great hostess. She's just a nice lady, a great friend.
Plays you like a saxophone, does she?
Mm-hmm. Well, she's a good person. She's a good person.
I know.
And a hell of a researcher.
Harry really cares about that relationship.
Yeah.
See, you respect her. Well, Harry called me once. He was weeping. What's the matter? He says, I think I upset Lawrence. No, I wasn't crying. But
I know that.
You have such...
I only cry when I think of my son who never made his 21st birthday.
Well, that's certainly cause enough to cry.
Yeah.
But he really respects her. I've never heard anything but the highest accolades, and I don't know her, but... I have some friends who know her, and she is very well thought of by everybody.
Yeah, she's a damn good researcher, and she was friends with, what the hell is his name, John Creighton Abrams, or what, I can't remember, but whoever the guy was, he was Ian Fleming's boss in British intelligence during the war.
Huh.
And she was involved in, oh, what the hell was the book? Operation James Bond.
James Bond book.
Yeah. James Bond, and then there was a couple other books she helped with. And so now she lives outside of Buenos Aires, and we are putting together some...
You got a project or two going. I got
right, that I can't talk about too much right now.
No, it's
them, she and I, plus my two doctor friends in Brazil.
Wonderful people.
Yep. They're madly in love with each other. The guy is an eye doctor, a surgeon, I think.
Yeah.
And the lady is an OB-GYN. So they are very well.
And boy, do they have a story to tell, which we've talked about in the past.
Right.
If it weren't for them,
later on.
Yeah. If it weren't for them and their kind-heartedness,
yes.
Wow, what we would have lost.
And, right. People like them help keep history alive.
Yeah.
God bless them.
Yeah, indeed. All right, K5.
The pièce de résistance.
All right.
Would you believe that lady's like 85 years old?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, well, she is. Just a sweet lady.
Looks sharp as a tack.
Her husband is no longer with us, and my wife keeps throwing this up into my face because her husband had diabetes, and he wouldn't back off the cupcakes, cookies, and things like that, even though he knew it wasn't good for him. So he never made it.
Nobody else but Cooper would have a hot fudge sundae, a 1 gallon hot fudge sundae, and a hot chocolate chaser. Come on.
Well, you got to eat from the four food groups.
That's right.
So
anyhow. All right, so what is this lady's relationship to shark hunters and you? What is?
Oh, boy.
You have 15 seconds to tell me.
15
I'm kidding.
Seconds?
I'm kidding.
By my watch, I got 7 minutes.
You got 7 minutes.
I was having lunch with my friend Mario, who was the former head of the nuclear research there. And I invited Lawrence to come along so she could expand her network, meet him. And she checked him out. She Googled him.
Uh-huh.
And so he and I were already seated at the restaurant, and she got there a little bit late. And so I was very formal. I said, Mario, may I present Lawrence DeMello? Lawrence, may I, I'd like you to meet my friend, Dr. And I said his name.
Yeah.
She was down on the floor in an honest-to-God kowtow with her head touching the floor and her knees. And Mario and I were looking at each other, and I said, Mario, I told you this was going to be a strange lunch. And she got up and she says, I read your bio, your CV, and this guy's a doctor. He's got his doctorate, and he teaches all around the world. He's quite a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, he knows what I'm doing because I helped him clean up his book on Huemul Island. And so we're friends there. He asked me how much I would charge him to look over his book and make sure the English read like English, not like throw me down the stairs each by each my shoes.
Yeah.
So he asked how much. I said, well, either $1 million or I'll do it for a friend. So anyhow, we were talking, and I told him, well, he knows what I was there for. He says, oh, by the way, did I tell you I have a friend? This lady is a friend of his wife. She saw Hitler in Buenos Aires, in Bariloche in 1954. So he put us in contact, went over there to her place, and we talked quite a bit, and she and her husband had their honeymoon on a very upscale hotel on an island in Lake Nahuelhuapi. And she said, because Argentina was not involved in the war, they were getting all the reports from both sides, and she said they were really keeping up on the war during the war,
right,
and on the stuff after the war. And she said they were in the dining room, and she said she saw a man on the other side of a table or a counter or something, and she said he looked exactly like Adolf Hitler. And she said, I asked my husband, and my husband looked and says, yes, he looks exactly like Adolf Hitler. So she saw him down there.
That's
and
her.
And I asked her, did he still have the mustache? Yes, he still had his mustache. So
that's her. That's her.
That's her. And we put it all on tape.
That's in her home?
Right.
Very classy place. Yeah.
I would say lives in a very upscale neighborhood in Buenos Aires. She has the whole seventh floor of this condo building.
Oh,
it's all hers.
Wow.
She was a sweetheart. What a nice lady. I brought over some lilies for her, a plant. And turned out she had other lilies there, so I guessed right. Just a sweetheart, a very pleasant lady, proper from the old way of life.
Yeah.
And so she went into more of the detail, which we have on tape. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but...
What did she come up with by way of, in her mind, solidifying that that was Hitler? Did she have anything after that in the years that's passed? That other people said, hey, she came to know that he went there after the war, I assume. Did she know it at the time she saw him? Or was that something she picked up later? Did she know there were rumors that he was down there then? Do you know that?
I don't know about that, but she said very clearly when they were in that dining room, she looked over and she said, that guy looks like Adolf Hitler. And her husband said, yep, it's him.
Not many people look like Adolf Hitler.
No, he had a, a geology professor once named Professor Kyle. He looked exactly like Hitler, except he didn't have the mustache.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have that little bit of unusual issue then about Hitler being there. And well, we could do a whole nother program on this.
Oh,
that's fascinating that she got to see him. Just
right, and this is no longer people saying that, well... You know, I talked to somebody who talked to somebody who knew somebody who saw him. This lady saw him with her own eyes.
Right. And this is on an island in the lake at a restaurant.
At a very upscale hotel, in the restaurant of that hotel.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I forget where it was. She told me it's on tape, but... Mm-hmm.
So he may have just taken a boat from home and gone over to this island and was having dinner.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, he can't sit there in his... house all that time.
No, of course not.
They didn't have cable TV back then.
There is also that troubling issue of those three or four photographs of Adolf Hitler in the in the Hotel Eden Annex with the icons taken in 1947. How did he get there in 1947?
He looked pretty good for a guy who had committed suicide 2 years before.
Yes, he did. So
and we stayed there. Martine and I stayed in that very annex when I was there in, 2015, I think it was, or 16. I don't know which room.
See, that's really irrefutable, those photographs. You can't explain that away. It wasn't Photoshop. These are old photos, for God's sakes.
Right, and the Eichhorn family were close friends with his because especially Ida Eichhorn sent tons of money to him in the 30s when he was on his way up in politics.
Right.
And there's photos on my website of their hotel, the Hotel Eden, in a huge courtyard where there were hundreds of people sitting there because they were the only place for miles and miles around that could pick up overseas broadcast. This place was 400 miles northwest of Buenos Aires.
Right.
And there would be hundreds of people in the courtyard listening to Hitler's speeches that they piped in from the overseas radio. So, and they've got an FBI report there. Damn, I need another cup of tea.
Hot chocolate, Harry. Hot chocolate.
Yeah, hot chocolate, right. They had an FBI report there that they have sealed in plastic. They show everybody. This FBI report flat out says the FBI knew he was staying there with help from Walter and Ida Eichhorn.
Of course. There you go. There you go.
It's all on our website.
All right, my friend. For those of you interested in taking a tour and getting to go and stay at Inalco, Hitler and Eva Braun's home. It was an enormous operation with security, with racehorses, with a farm, and island security, watchtower security. They had it all. And this is all being done with the full approval at the highest levels of Western governments. The trade was the trade was the trade. The Soviets and Stalin grabbed and kidnapped as many scientists as they could and took them to Russia. But the others wanted to go west, and most of them, probably 60, 65, 70% maybe made it to the west. But it's
right.
a big
Plus
story.
Plus a bunch of them went down to Argentina also. Professor
sure
Kurt
did.
Tank, who designed the Focke Wulf FW-190.
And the Hortons.
And the Hortons, right. And I'm in contact with the grandson of Horton.
That's amazing. Yeah. So much ahead to do. You're busy for the next 15, 20 years digging this stuff up.
Yep.
All right, Harry, thanks for stopping by. Great to talk to you. We'll talk very soon. And we look forward to our next conversation. Wonderful.
You bet.
All right, take care.
All right, have a great evening.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Harry. All right, Shark Hunters, what an organization and what a man. All right, we will be right back with more in just a couple.